You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
As promised, back on Friday, and we will have Saturday mailbag for you on Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. And let's just get right into it. The big news of the day is what happened this morning with Taylor Groves and Cody Jones both committing to Michigan football. Did not think that both were going to drop. I had a pre-write for Groves, but I did not have one for Cody Jones. Both of them dropped at the same exact time. And that is, this is what's great, is because you've got two guys from Tennessee. They're both four stars. They're both guys that had really good offer sheets, right? So if you want to take a look at what these guys had going. I'm all over the place here. We're very Midwest here. For Groves, I'm looking at their offer sheets here. And what I'm trying to say here is, yes, they are from SEC country. No, they don't have the upper echelon necessarily. They do have, Groves has an LSU offer, but you look at the LSU or the SEC and ACC schools that have offered Groves, particularly Arkansas, Georgia Tech, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt. So that's most of them. Obviously, conspicuously absent, Alabama, Florida, and Georgia. But otherwise, pretty much every other school involved. Also have Notre Dame. You also have Penn State, Michigan State. You got some schools like Kansas, Colorado. It's a really good offer sheet. So that is what you're looking for, right? Cody Jones in a very similar spot as far as the offer sheet he has. He also has 30 reported offers. As far as SEC is concerned, he has an Auburn offer, whereas the other doesn't. He's got Arkansas. He's got Florida State. He's got Louisville. He's got Memphis, which he's near Memphis. That makes sense. Mississippi State. He's got Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, Oregon, Penn State, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Vanderbilt, West Virginia, Virginia Tech. Heck of an offer sheet for either. I'm sure that more is coming for both of these guys. So it's pretty incredible what he's got. Anyway, so that is what you want to see out of these types of guys. Huge deal done by Mo Linguist, who is the primary recruiter of both. And you had Mike McDonald as the secondary on one of them, and you had George Hello as the secondary on the other. What you're seeing now is a staff that is truly recruiting. Like I've talked about the full court press. I feel like this full court press is much different than what you were getting before. So what I like about where Michigan's going with this class so far, now you don't have any super high-end guys yet. You've got a couple guys that are four stars. You got two mid four stars in the composite in Groves and Alex Van Sumeren. You've got a lower four star, still a mid to low four star in Cody Jones, and three stars in Klein, the tight end, in Connor Jones, the offensive tackle, and in Devontae Miles, the defensive tackle. This class has the possibility of being pretty big, right? They only took 23 this last cycle. You figure baseline tends to be 25, and then you can add to it depending on the attrition that you have coming or that you already have. And Michigan already has quite a bit. You're going to lose a couple more guys after next year, guys that will be going to the NFL, particularly like Aiden Hutchinson, Brad Hawkins, All those guys that decided they're coming back, Josh Ross, those guys will all be gone. That's expected attrition, of course, but nonetheless, that helps out that much more. So I think you're putting yourself in a really good situation here for this class. Yeah, you've got a couple 3 stars, but what you're seeing out of the staff is impressive. I want to get into that next. This is going to be on the shorter end of this particular show, FYI. But need some brevity every now and again. But before we get to anything else, one reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money that you can use for other important things like mortgage or food, vacations. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50%, 100% more for the same exact auto parts at a chain store or new car dealership? Y'all know how much I like RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business that's serving auto parts customers online and has been doing so for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. All right, so let's talk about the staff, because we've got a little bit of a sample size to kind of see what this staff is up to, right? So you look at what they've been able to do so far. They've with the new look staff particularly, because none of these guys were in place back in early signing day, mid December. But you saw Nua close out on 3 defensive tackles with the help of some of the other guys, namely Ron Bellamy. Ron Bellamy particularly is really going to help fence the state, or at least the city of Detroit and Metro Detroit and all of that. I think that and I could be very wrong, but I think that based off of what you've seen with the Rayshon Benny flip, and we'll see what happens with Will Johnson, who's the other guy that obviously is a must get. You've already seen Tyrell Henry commit to Michigan State, but for the most part, guys that Michigan wants in this area, you're not necessarily going to be able to keep all of them, of course, like I talked about the other day. But guys that Michigan wants in this area, it's going to be a lot harder to pry them away. And here's something that I was saying on the M Zone earlier today. No, I'm not saying, Dennis confused what I was trying to say. I'm not saying that if Michigan goes 6-6 or, 4-8, that it's acceptable. But I think we can all agree now with the contract extension, though Michigan can get out of it, based off of what has been put together from the coaching staff, that you can assume that Jim Harbaugh has a little bit of leash. At least another year of leash, barring absolute disaster. And 4-8 might be a complete disaster. I mean, it is. But let's just say 6-6. By virtue of the aggressive nature of what this coaching staff is doing on the recruiting trail right now, you can assume that the relationships that they're forming with these guys is going to be of the variety of, you know what, we're needed, we're wanted. And even if the season doesn't go very well, and assuming that the coaching staff stays in place, Michigan is where we're going to end up. They don't need to necessarily show their bona fides on the field. Now, that much better if, let's say, they've got all these incredible relationships. And that's one of the things Mike Hart was talking about with John Jansen, right, is recruiting is all about relationships. So if they are building these relationships and making things as tight now with some of these guys, it gives them a little bit of leeway on the field. Now, if Michigan goes and just tears through the schedule, which we'll talk about at the end, touch on at least, then that will make things a little bit more palatable even. But I think the good news is what you're seeing right now in the recruiting sphere is an excitement that I haven't seen really since 2016, 2017. It feels like Michigan's coming off of a big year because of the energy that these guys are bringing. If you look at the coaching staff, Brian Jean-Marie is the oldest one that's on the staff, right? Behind Jim Harbaugh. I'm not sure his exact age, mid-40s, mid to late-40s. Then you got Sean Nua, who's, I think, 40, maybe 41. Everyone else is sub-40. Everyone else. So you also have a coaching staff that is more relatable. And to the point that Jamie and Dennis brought up today on the M Zone, it's a diverse coaching staff, too. I know there's a lot of people out there, and I'm certainly not a, quote, woke type person. I'm not at all. But when you're trying to tell someone, hey, come to this place for 4 years, it helps if they feel like they are going to be comfortable in one way or another. Some of that might be like, you know, having faces that are familiar to them, experiences that are familiar to them. We all have different backgrounds, from socioeconomic to racial, all of that. And having a little bit more diversity in that light can only help. I mean, heck, Arizona State was out there telling Will Johnson, we have an all-black coaching staff. That appealed to him. So, best as I can say it, having a little bit of diversity on the staff is certainly helpful. And I think that Harbaugh has built this thing, as far as this particular offseason, in the right way. So we'll see what happens as far as on the field, because that's a completely different story, of course. But I like that you can say with quite a fair bit of honesty, you know, we can, you know, we can go full court press. There is not really anyone on the staff right now that I look at and say, well, there's your weak link recruiting wise, which is new. Let's just go through everyone that's currently on the staff. Josh Gattis, voracious recruiter. Sharon Morse, voracious recruiter. Mike Hart, voracious recruiter. Ron Bellamy, voracious recruiter. Is that everyone on the offensive side? I feel like I'm missing someone, but nonetheless. Jay Harbaugh, special teams. And tight ends. Okay, there you go. Voracious recruiter. Nua showed some recruiting prowess with his closeout. We know Jean-Marie is a voracious recruiter. George Hello, we assume, will be. Already helped lure one guy in. Then you're looking at Mo Linguist. You're looking at Mike McDonald. Linguist has already delivered 2 prospects to Ann Arbor, and he's barely been here. I don't even know if he's set foot in Schembechler Hall yet because of the lockdown thing. So that's pretty incredible. You have an entire staff that, hey, we need to go out and get some guys. You know they're going to go out and try to get some guys. Not saying that the other staffs that existed before it was lazy, but it was starting to feel lazy, right? Like they were settling for a lot of projects. I don't have as much of an issue with the New England of it all, per se. New England's brought Michigan some really good players. Some haven't worked out, but some, you know, certainly have. Sean McCune, Quiddy Pay. Those are guys who certainly worked out. But now you're getting into Tennessee. Looks like you're getting into Texas. You already were in Georgia and Florida. There were big swaths of the nation that just kind of felt off limits for Michigan. Texas particularly felt off limits. So now it just seems like you have a willingness, a dare to go there. on top of that, I love what I saw from Lindquist. Not only did Michigan get those two commits today, he goes on Twitter and says, get used to it, Michigan Nation. This is what is going to be happening. And then Josh Gattis quotes tweets it and said, yep, everyone on board. No more naysayers. Here's the thing about that, though. You're going to get real excited bringing in recruits, but we've been there before. We've been there in 2017, right? Incredible class, and it didn't work out. But let's face it, that's more of an anomaly. At least it should be. Usually, you don't have entire classes full of high-level prospects just all wash out. But it'll build a lot of goodwill if this group can continue doing what it looks like it's capable of doing. So that is super, super exciting. All right. Before we move on to the schedule, I have to ask, are we ready for some football? The Super Bowl is just 2 days away. It's between Tampa Bay and Kansas City. Both of those teams have played in every Super Bowl except for the ones that they haven't. And there is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That's BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Whether you're betting on Tom Brady to get yet another number six, right? Or would it be number seven? I've lost count at this point. That's just where we're at. Or you think that Mahomes and them are going to repeat. It's very rare that you see repeats in the NFL. You know what? Either way, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so Michigan has a new schedule released. Big Ten announced a new schedule. So there you go. A little bit of reshuffling, not much. All the same opponents. I think what's interesting is you still have the same non-conference that was on the books. You still got Washington on the books, according to Michigan. There's four changes to, well, I guess four changes to this schedule. Ohio State is still at home, by the way, which it was scheduled to be at home. That's not sitting well with those in Columbus, I'd imagine. They lost a year to be a home game. But four changes. Nebraska moves up from October 30th to October 9th. Northwestern moves up from November 6th to October 23rd. Michigan State moves back from October 16th to October 30th. Indiana is finally a home game after two games on the road. And this was supposed to be a road game. And that's moved back from November 6th or to November 6th from October 9th. So the schedule reads like this: Western Michigan home, Washington home, Northern Illinois home, Rutgers home. First road game at Wisconsin October 2nd, then October 9th at Nebraska. Come home for Northwestern. There's a bye in between Nebraska and Northwestern. You go to Michigan State. You come back home for Indiana. Then at Penn State, at Maryland, finish off with Ohio State. So I like it in the sense of should win Western Michigan. Tough game, Washington. Should win Northern Illinois and Rutgers. Tough game, Wisconsin. Should win Nebraska. Tough game, Northwestern. Should win, but doesn't always mean that. Michigan State, obviously they should have won this last year. Toss up Indiana. Toss up Penn State, but it's at Penn State. Should win at Maryland. Likely loss Ohio State until proven otherwise. So I think that sets up nicely. You add, do all the should wins, You got six wins right there. Toss-ups, Washington, Wisconsin, Northwestern, Indiana, Penn State. There's five. You split those, do what you do against Ohio State, at least you've rebounded. It's not pretty, but it's at least it's something. And that's what it is. So exciting to have a little bit of change to the schedule at this point. These schedules are set so far in advance. This schedule was set 4 years ago, so it's exciting to have something like that to actually talk about at this juncture. Anyway, that is going to do it for us today. Like I said, we're on the shorter side, but we'll be back with a mailbag tomorrow. So get your questions in. I've already put the call out for them on Twitter. We'll talk to you on Saturday. See you then. Peace.